Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Who's your favorite sports team? What? Everybody has a favorite sports team. You know, most of us do. Ohio State. What's the old saying for Michigan people? Oh, how I hate Ohio State. Okay, I knew Jody would do that. And there's a reason that I did that, because... we have this tendency in life to love things. We say, oh, I love that. Well, do you really love it? You know, but, or I hate that. I hate that. You know, there is a place for love and there's a place for hate. There's a song. There's a time to love, a time to hate. You know, we hear that a lot. The newly formed church was not going to be an easy thing to promote. Satan was defeated by God through the resurrection of Jesus. But Satan was not about to allow that little hiccup to stand in his way, in his effort, to cause grief for Jesus and for his followers. Satan, in essence, is a sore loser. Sore losers get angry and they get hateful. Oh, how I hate Ohio State. Why would a team in Michigan say that about another team? Are they doing something bad? No, they're out there playing a sport. But we say, oh, how I hate Ohio State. You know what? I have another example that is just, it blows me away. When I was a young boy, that was only 5 years ago. So when I was young, I didn't like the Detroit Lions. I still don't. But when in the 60s, when New England came out as the Boston Patriots, it was Boston Patriots at the time, but the football team, they came out, and that little guy down in his red, white, and blue, he was very patriotic. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to adopt them. They were a new team, and I'm going to adopt them. Oh, what a mistake. What a mistake. Losing is part of life, especially in the sporting world. Take the New England Patriots, for example. Between 1989 and 1993, the Patriots only won 19 games out of 80. That's a losing record, I think. That's a bad losing record. Well, in the year 2000, Bill Belichick was hired as the head coach. But also in the year 2000, my Michigan Tom Brady was drafted 199th and went to the New England Patriots. And he never looked back. Between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, that combination has amassed an incredible record of 237 wins versus only 82 losses. And that's just the regular season. That doesn't include all the playoff games and the Super Bowls. As most people are aware, though, the Patriots have won 6 Super Bowls. And Tom Brady is the undisputed GOAT, or greatest of all time, quarterbacks. Now, I hear other people talk, and the Detroit Lion fans, who I hear a lot because I live here, they hate New England. Why do they hate New England? Are they doing something bad? No, they win at your expense. You get that? That's important. They win at your expense. Jesus not only went to the cross and died, he rose from the dead. He won at the expense of Satan. Wow. Does that make Satan angry? Oh, you can count on it. People hate it when they don't win. Winning in this life is almost everything So they begin to hate the winners. Losing means that someone else is better than you are. Sore losers get angry and hateful. Satan lost at the resurrection. Do you think he's going to give up? I think it even made him more hateful and more revengeful. He didn't beat Christ, but I can guarantee you he is going to do everything he can to beat the followers of Christ while he has a chance and he's still in control on this earth. Satan is angry and hateful. Acts 8:4-8. And by the way, Terry Joe, if there's anybody that doesn't have a little piece of paper to be able to take some notes on, I don't ask you to take notes about what we're talking about today, but at the end, I am going to ask you to write a couple things down for yourself. So if you don't have a sheet of paper, maybe you could help and get them a sheet of paper or something. That would work out really well. Acts 8:4-8. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Now, you remember the very first part of that chapter, the Christians were under attack by who? No one other than Saul. Saul hated Christians. Saul hated believers. He went out of his way to make sure that they were uncomfortable and they were killed. He wanted to stop this whole nonsense about Jesus Christ. Now, you got to remember that just not that long ago, Jesus went to the cross, went to the grave, but then rose again, and that's historic. That's a fact. And the people all knew that. Do you think Saul didn't know that? He knew it. But he was filled with Satan. He was filled with evil. They preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. The converted Christians did as they were instructed to do. Christ had told the disciples before he left, go into the world and preach the gospel. I'm not going to be here except in you, and I will give you my spirit, and I will instruct you and give you what you need to do that. I hang on this verse that I out of 2 Peter. I have given you everything you need for life and godliness. That's Jesus. Everything you need. Preach the gospel, he said. Salvation by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Here's a question. Did the disciples go about doing evil when they were doing this? Were they doing evil things? We have this thing in almost all of society. When people do evil things, you hate it. You hate it. But why do people hate it when you do good? I mean, that is an oxymoron as far as I'm concerned. Why, when I do good things, do they hate it? Well, they don't just hate the good things. They hate the person that's responsible for doing the good things, because that's Jesus. Remember, go all the way back to the beginning. God, Jesus, and Satan, Lucifer. God cast him out of heaven because Lucifer wanted to be in charge. His pride said, I want to be number one. So Satan got cast out of heaven like a lightning bolt to where? Here, the earth. He's in control of this earth. But Jesus helped fix that at the cross. He beat death and rose from the dead. And Satan hates that. So now we have this thing where people do good and they're hated for it. And they went into Samaria and they proclaimed the Messiah. Crowds heard that and they were healed, and the verse says that they were all excited. There was great joy in that city. Cleansing people from impure, evil spirits is a good thing. Healing the paralyzed and the lame, that's a good thing. This brought great joy. It was a good thing. Again, though, Satan is losing. And he's still angry and revengeful. Acts 8, 9 through 13. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention. And they exclaimed, "This man is rightly," I love that, "this man is rightly called the great power of" who? God. What a ruse. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. Now, just stop for a second here. Can a sorcerer or Satan, through evil people, do miraculous things? You bet. Evil spirits linger around us everywhere, and they can and have the power to do many things that we don't understand. But that doesn't mean they're from God. That means they're from Satan. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. Okay, catch that. Simon believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw through Philip. Again, Satan loses. And Satan is still angry and hateful. Simon did not perform his sorcery in the name of Jesus. Scripture, or Jesus' words, says that sorcery is evil and it comes from Satan. Galatians 5:19, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition," goes on and on and on. "Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Sorcerers. Revelation: "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me," Jesus said to him, "'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life, eternal life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly and the idolaters and all liars, those who practice magic arts, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur, which is known as the second death." Sorcerers are evil. There are never good sorcerers. They do not come in the name of Jesus. Remember that Simon boasted that he was someone great. You remember when he said that? He claimed to the people that he was someone great. And they believed him. Did he ever mention Jesus about it? No. He was great. Selfishness, pride. I'm great. Listen to me. Look what I can do. Acts 8:14-19. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And there's a purpose for that. When we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit moves in. That's a promise. At this particular time, though, there was a purpose behind the believers that were baptized in the name of Jesus that they didn't receive the Holy Spirit, is because the example had to be set by the disciples that the laying on of hands would bring the Holy Spirit so that other people could see the laying on of hands, but the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit. So that's what they did. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, and I got to stop there. Who was Simon again? A sorcerer. He was the one providing the miracles for people. He didn't like the fact that now these disciples are leading people to Christ. I think he's a little bit jealous. I don't think he's jealous. I know he's jealous for what he did. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Now, what did he say? Give who that power? Did the apostles ever say that that power was theirs? No. In fact, the apostles, and I can show you scriptures after scripture, that says, we receive this power from the person of Jesus Christ. He's the one responsible. Simon was still into himself, and he still didn't give Jesus the credit. And Peter rebuked it. I love Peter. He didn't pull any punches. He just told it like it was because he was filled with the Spirit. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God." I thought he was baptized in the name of Jesus. Can a sorcerer or an evil person put up a front so that they don't quite look so bad? That's interesting. Repent of this wickedness, and you, Simon, pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Losers hate losing, and they become angry and mean. Peter picked up on that. He instructed Simon to repent and pray to the Lord that he may forgive you. Peter wouldn't do for Simon what Simon should be doing for himself. Remember, he asked Peter to do that. Pray for me. We need to understand that salvation is only from Jesus. We need to also understand that everything associated with that salvation, such as the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit, is totally and completely from Jesus. Acts 8:24-25. Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me." See, he's missing it. "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Simon still doesn't get it. He asked Peter to pray for him. He didn't pray himself. Peter instructed him, you pray. Ask God. You pray. You know what? Satan knows that he can't ask God anything. He can't ask God anything. Because is God going to grant that? No. When we know that we're going to be told no, do we ask? Not traditionally. Now, when I was a kid, I asked a lot, even though I knew I was going to be told no. And a lot of times I probably just did it anyway. So, I mean, you know, but that's where I see Simon at. He's afraid to ask God to help him through this, to accept Jesus, because he is evil and he can't get past himself. He's selfish and he wants pride, the power. He wants it. And he won't go to God. He won't go to Jesus and ask. The fact that is that Simon needed to pray for himself on his own. This is a very personal act, the acceptance of Jesus, not something someone else can do for you. Here's a question. Did the persecution of the Christians by Saul prevent them from getting out the word of Jesus? The word being the good news or the gospel as Jesus has instructed them to do. Did that stop them? No. In fact, a lot of times that makes you even more determined. We are going to do this. And here's a great example of being instructed to do something. And you've all heard this. You heard it at Easter. But it is an example of us being available to do God's work, teaching and preaching to other people about what Jesus did for us and who he is. Now, this is Acts 8, 26 through 40. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south on the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Philip didn't just walk over nonchalantly, lackadaisically. What does it say? Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage that of scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very same passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way, rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Satan lost again. Satan lost again. You want to follow a winner, or do you want to follow a loser? I got discouraged following the Patriots all those years, but then they started to win, and it was exciting to follow them. When you see the difference between losing and winning, it's more exciting. Jesus is a winner. Jesus is a winner. Are we available to do as Jesus instructed the disciples, to preach and tell the gospel? Are we available? Our goal should be to tell people the good news. Every day we wake up, we need to say, Jesus, put people in my life that I can share your good news with, that you can share your good news with through me. Jesus can save us from our sin. He died and rose again that we might live, but we can't accept Christ for those people. Once they know the truth, it's up to God to do the convicting. He does the calling, and he does the choosing. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another, love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is written, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will for sure persecute you. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, listen to this, if I had not come, Jesus, and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now you get to understand a little bit more of why people hate it. They're shown in the scriptures that they're sinners. Do you want to be a sinner? Do you want to be called a sinner? Do you want to be known? They've stopped using that word. But you're evil. Let's just use the word evil in place of sin. You're an evil person. Oh, but they're so good in society. They give money and they do this and do that. They're evil people until they know Jesus. If you're not filled with Jesus, you're an evil person. Because Jesus said also, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you follow me, you don't follow Satan. If you follow Satan, you don't follow me. Do we know the Word of God well enough to share the good news with people that we come in contact with? That's not meant to make you feel bad. That's meant to make you anxious, to say, I need to know the Word better so that I can share those words with people that I know, that see me or me, I see them every day. Remember, Satan is a sore loser, and sore losers are angry and mean. Satan hates Jesus, so Satan also hates the followers of Jesus. The world will hate us. But Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In a world of hate, a world that's going to hate us because we believe Jesus is the Son of God and he paid our price and rose from the dead and defeated Satan. The world is going to hate us. It's getting obvious every day, even in our own country, what they're trying to do with Christianity. They will hate us. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I, Jesus, have overcome the world. I ask that you have a piece of paper, and I'm going to ask you to write a couple things down for yourself, not for me or anybody to see, but do this. What will you do in the coming days? What will you do? What will you pray? Will you ask Jesus to give you things to people to run into, to meet. What will I do to reach out to other people? What will I do to reach out? It's a command. Jesus said, would you please? No. He said, go into the world where you live, preach the gospel, teach people about me and their need of salvation. What will I do to reach out to people around me? Then, the second thing is, what scripture do I need to know that will help me tell people who Jesus is? What scripture do I need to know that will help me tell people who Jesus is? Take these two things with you this week. I'd encourage you to read them every morning or throughout the day, because that's our obligation. That's what Jesus said for us to do. Is Jesus a loser? Are you following a loser like Ohio State? No. Are you following a loser? No, you're following a winner. Be proud of it. Be excited. Be anxious. Go about the work of Jesus. Father, thank you so much for your word. Jesus, you have given us so much to be grateful for in the fact that you paid our price through death, but you also gave us life through your resurrection. You made us winners. Help us to walk around this earth with an attitude of a winner and let you do the work. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.